Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 516, I'm welcoming to the show Courtney Garrett.
Discipleship should lead to disciple making, which is sharing with others what you know to be true about Jesus. So disciple making makes it sound like I'm making other disciples, and that sounds daunting, but all you're doing is sharing what you know. And so I think in the Western church, and we're just a little more, we're individualistic, we're kind of inward sometimes. And so we can get stuck just thinking, well, what am I studying? What am I learning? But disciple making focuses your eyes outward and helps you see the need that others have to know what you know.
Courtney is a mom. She also has her degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, and she has served in the past as director of women's discipleship at her home church in Houston, Texas. And it was through all of her experiences that she discovered while there are so many great Bible studies available, there was a void. She couldn't find a basic study that provided a simple yet comprehensive foundation for those who were seeking or maybe new to their faith. So she decided to create the thing that she couldn't find and started the 101 Christianity Resources. She has so many great options you should definitely check out in the link in the show notes, and we're going to hear more about it today. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Courtney, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you, Heather. I'm so excited about our conversation today.
Well, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to connect people with good resources. And even today, I told you I was at a speaking event and I ran into a mom and she was telling me, and to some moms, this story would be hard. Let me just preface that. I think there's a lot to be learned from her story. Her daughter is from a marriage that's, they're not divorced. They have shared custody. The daughter wanted to switch high schools, doing her senior year at a different high school, away from her mom, closer to her dad. And there's a lot of grief there. There's a lot in that story, but she was telling it and she was so happy that I thought, okay, I'm just listening. Apparently, it's been fantastic. She has gotten to know a group of girls. They've all decided to share their faith openly. They've started this good news kind of club, and they gave everyone Bibles who was interested. And it's just like going really well over there. And so I said, oh, well, if she needs something to support the discipleship process for these new believers, I just heard about this Bible study, 101 Christianity by Courtney Garrett. You should check it out. She's like, really? Oh, yeah, great. Anyway, so it was just nice to know that I have something to share with people in that context of even high school kids who are supporting friends in their journey. So
yeah, I love that. And that's one of the things that I'm always like, even if you don't know someone that you may want to use this with, have it on your shelf. You never know when the Lord might open a door like that. And so I'm glad that it was kind of something that came to mind as a help.
So before we jump into how you got into this and the purpose and all that jazz, would you take a second to introduce everyone to your family?
Yes. Yes. I'd love to do that. I'm married to John, and we have two boys. One is 14 and the other one is almost 10. We brought camp into camp is our younger one. We are, our older one is biological. Our younger one is adopted. And so we have a beautiful story of how that came to be when that was not something on our radar. And so we're so thankful for both of our boys. And I live in Houston, and I am a part-time homeschooler. I'm kind of an accidental homeschooling mom.
I've done that before.
Did you fall into it by accident?
Also? I did it for a year, and I get so much credit for it. I'm like, everyone should do it for 1 year, because then people are like, oh, you homeschool, right? I'm like, totally. One kid, 1 year.
Man, I'm looking up. This is my ninth year. I've only done it with my older one. We are at the tail end, I believe. And somehow we've made it through. And my younger one goes to school full time. We didn't even try. And so anyway.
Wow. So you spend a lot of time doing that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so ministry is on the side for me, but something I'm really passionate about. And so that's me.
Did you do ministry in a church prior to having children?
I did. So I finished seminary in Dallas, went to Dallas Seminary and graduated with a master's in Christian education. And after that, I moved to Houston because there was a church that was starting here and I had connections, but it was brand new. And I came on staff here as really like the second hire and worked as the women's discipleship director at this tiny church that now is really large and has changed so much. But yes, was there at that church for 7-ish years before I had Jack. And so, yes, worked in ministry then. And then have been working in ministry outside of the church pretty much since then.
Always kind of leading some sort of Bible study or
right. Yes. Group. And I think the Lord just used that I had some more time to think and process, and the Lord just kind of helped me see a need that was made more visible in my position in ministry. And after I had taken a step out, I thought, why is it that I still see a void? And so we can talk more about that. But that's
talk to me about that, because you use the word discipleship, and maybe people listening, that's even foreign. They've heard the word discipline.
Right.
With their kids, like we got to discipline our kids. Maybe they've heard about, oh, we should disciple. I was just reading Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. I think that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
And he's like saying that disciple is not a verb. It's a noun that we say, oh, we should disciple that person. And they're like, no, they're being discipled by Jesus. The discipleship process is helping them connect with Jesus.
It's kind of tricky. I don't know. I don't know why it does, but let's just bring it on down and I'll tell
break
you
it down.
How yeah. I think of it and maybe it'll be helpful.
Okay.
But in the way that we see it in scripture, a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus, a committed follower of Jesus. So, you know, someone can be a believer without being a disciple, right? So someone can have an acceptance of Jesus and who he is, but a disciple is an ongoing commitment of following Jesus. So that's what we see with the disciples in scripture. So discipleship, the way that I would define it, I see it as a lifelong process, an ongoing process of learning to grow and love and follow and obey Jesus. Okay, so that's what I see discipleship as. And then from there, we need to distinguish what disciple making is. So you become a believer, and then hopefully you become a disciple. And you become a disciple by all kinds of things, all kinds of ways God has provided for us, whether it's, of course, your church and the preaching of God's word and reading the Bible on your own and community and prayer and some of the other spiritual disciplines. But we can kind of get the idea that our discipleship is very personal and private and internal. And it's my deal with Jesus, right? If we don't really have a small group that we're working out things with, but it can just become like a very personal process. We can kind of get stuck there. And so discipleship should lead to disciple making, which is sharing with others what you know to be true about Jesus. So disciple making makes it sound like I'm making other disciples, and that sounds daunting, but all you're doing is sharing what you know. And so I think in the Western church, and we're just a little more, we're individualistic, we're kind of inward sometimes. And so we can get stuck just thinking, well, what am I studying? What am I learning? It's consumeristic, you know, you go to church, what was that sermon? Did that speak to me or not? It's all about me. And we can all fall into that at times, but disciple making focuses your eyes outward and helps you see the need that others have to know what you know. So I don't know if that helps or not. Yep. Those are the ways that I kind of think about it.
Well, and someone might be like, okay, I get back in the Bible, Jesus had followers because they literally followed him around physically.
Walked around behind him, right.
What does it mean to follow Jesus in modern day? Like when you use that phrase, follow Jesus. Like,
right.
Well, he's in heaven. So what do I do? I got to go to heaven, you know?
I know. And it's good just to pare it all down because yeah. We don't want to assume that this, you know, sometimes we just can use these terms. I believe it is knowing who Jesus is. We have to start with reading about who he is and reading about all of God's character and understanding his character and then seeking to obey him. And it's not just this obedience that's going to earn his favor. It's obedience because he promises a path of joy and peace in that obedience. And so I have a chapter in one of the books just on obedience. It's not a duty. It's a delight when we understand that his way is the best way, even when it's the hard way, because it often is the hard way. So I think that that's what it means, is to, in following Jesus, I'm taking seriously what he says. I'm believing that it is truth. And then I am seeking to act on what he says.
And you can't follow someone you don't know.
Right. And you can know all about him without truly knowing him. So we always are talking about how Christianity offers a relationship. No other religion offers a relationship like that. And so it's so true. You have to know him and you have to know his character. And scripture tells us all those things. So we have to get to know our Bibles.
Well, and to be a disciple maker, like you said, you have to be a disciple of Jesus yourself. And like I found in my own journey, I'm more likely to like talk about Jesus and what he's doing and the healing I'm seeing him do when I'm excited and I'm experiencing him and it's alive and it's amazing, than if it's ritualistic and boring and I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like when you've tasted in a, like we talk about influencers all the time. They love this thing from Amazon, or they had this great Borson dip that goes viral. It's like, can't stop talking about it because the experience was so great. So part of the disciple making is us choosing to lean into a vibrant, alive, active, experiential faith and not just the rituals and the legalism. And
no, and it should just be an overflow. Yeah. Like you're saying, when your cup is filled with understanding your identity and who you are in Christ and who God says he is, and seeing his answers to many years of his, and seeing his faithfulness over and over again, and counting on him to be present today in whatever it is that you're dealing with, because you've seen his faithfulness, you can come alongside someone else and say, I know, but God's been faithful before, remember? And then you can, you know, so it's at that overflow. I totally agree. It's just like, we don't have to be, it's not so serious all the time. There's joy there.
If you've been on the lookout for a good hydration option, look no further, because I think I found it. It's called Cure. And here's what I love. One, I had it on the counter the other day and a friend was over and she was raving about how much she loves it. So that made me feel good that I wasn't the only one who'd landed on a great option. So it is the cleanest way to hydrate. There's clean ingredients and zero added sugar. It's only 25 calories a serving with no added sugars. So it keeps you feeling energized and hydrated without the crash, and it's doctor approved to be safe for everyone. So even one of my boys was sick the other week and needed to rehydrate. If you know, you know. And instead of grabbing what I was given as a child to drink after being sick, I gave him water with the lemonade flavored Cure. Now, I love personally taking one of my sparkling water and adding the berry pomegranate and kind of making a fun little mocktail while I'm cooking dinner. It's also helpful if you're someone who struggles to drink water. It's going to make the water taste better. It's also science-backed. It is an oral rehydration solution that's developed by The WHO and proven to hydrate as effectively as an IV drip. It is made with high-quality ingredients like coconut water powder, pink Himalayan salt, and is rigorously tested to ensure that they meet quality standards. Now, hydration goes beyond just drinking water. It's about replenishing the electrolytes we lose through sweat, sleep, alcohol, and daily activities. Water alone is not enough to do the job. That's why you need to try Cure, the electrolyte drink mix that tastes as amazing as it makes you feel. For Don't Mom Alone listeners, Cure is offering 20% off your first order. Stay hydrated and feel your best by visiting curehydration.com/DMA. Use that promo code DMA at checkout. That's curehydration.com/DMA. And use that code DMA for 20% off your first order. The other thing I've been on the lookout for is quality, clean cleaning supplies. And I've cracked the code with Branch Basics. And not only do I love that I don't have to worry about synthetic fragrances and all of the endocrine disruptors and all that stuff. With Branch Basics, it's No harsh chemicals, just effective cleaning. It's plant and mineral based products. But really, honestly, my favorite part is how it works with one concentrate bottle. So you get this concentrate, and then all the other spray bottles and even soap dispenser use the concentrate. And on the side of the spray bottle, it'll say, use this much concentrate and this much water to create the mix, whether it's the spray I use in my kitchen or for the mirrors and the glass or the soap itself. I have one kid that loves to wash his hands. And so it's helpful to know that with that concentrate, I can keep refilling these bottles at such a discount. So not only is it clean and not only do these products really work, on average, each bottle that I'm creating is less than $2.13, which is cheaper than a conventional cleaner, which is awesome. It's like, again, I win-win-win. So if you, like me, want to ditch all that harmful stuff and switch to Branch Basics, they have a premium starter kit, and it's going to be the healthiest upgrade you're ever going to make. It is, to me, I've truly, truly loved it. I loved that I can create 13 different refills just from the one concentrate. So make this year the year you say goodbye to toxic products. Right now, our listeners get 15% off the premium starter kit by using the code DMA at branchbasics.com. That's 15% off your new Branch Basics premium starter kit at branchbasics.com with promo code DMA. Make your 2025 your cleanest, healthiest year yet with Branch Basics. So what if someone's listening and they're like, I love this idea. I don't know that I've ever had someone help me be a disciple to Jesus. Like, where would they start?
Right. I think the first thing that we need to do, because some people will automatically disqualify themselves from this because there's several barriers. One is they don't know enough. And, you know, we all have that insecurity. I have been to seminary and I still don't feel like I know enough, right? We never have arrived and feel like, oh, I've got it now. I've got what it takes to just, you know, we feel like we're going to have these gotcha, you know, moments and we're not going to know how to respond. But the truth is, unless we are fully grounded, just with a strong foundation of some essential things we should know, foundational truths, then we may not be ready. And that's okay. That's okay to say, I don't know that I have all my questions answered that are these kind of big gaps in my understanding. And I talk about gaps a lot because even for some of us who I grew up in the church from the time that I was young, but a lot of people, you know, come to faith in their early adulthood or maybe in college, and there are big gaps in their understanding of things. They've caught things here and there, and God is so gracious to fill in the gaps for us over time. Maybe it's through a book that you read or through a conversation you had with a friend or a podcast or just some different things and reading God's word. But if we don't have those gaps filled in for us, we're not going to maybe feel as confident as we could sharing what we know with other people. That said, you know, the woman at the well, when Jesus met her, she met Jesus and she ran and she told others about him. So we have to also understand that there's a degree in which you need to understand that someone you know needs what you know. I say it all the time. Someone you know needs what you know. So if you only know that Jesus has saved you, someone you know needs to know that, you know? And so as you grow in your understanding of who God is and in his word and all these foundational pieces that are so essential to having a strong foundation, then you can share more of those things. But start by grounding yourself, maybe along with some other friends, and saying, hey, I want to do kind of a regrounding, or I want to just firm up my foundation. Do you want to do that with me?
So would they go through the 101, exploring the basics of the Christian faith with a couple friends who are at the same place before they bring it to someone who's newer?
I would suggest doing it with a group of friends and then maybe praying about, hey, who else do we know that needs this? And then you don't do it alone, right? You go out.
Don't do it alone. That's what we say. Don't disciple alone.
It's very on brand.
It's my verb, according to John Mark Comer. Don't disciple make alone.
Well, I know exactly.
I think you got it's a little silly, I think. It's fine.
People get hung up on like some of the
semantics. Yeah.
It is a semantic thing. Yeah. I see his point, but
yeah,
I use it as a verb. So
yep.
Sorry, mm-hmm. John Mark, but, but yes, I would say get together with friends, do it, and then pray about who else needs this. And it is a very simple study. It is scripted for you. I mean, it's not, you know, anybody can do it.
And you offer even some support. So it's 10 weeks, y'all. And then you also have a podcast if they need a little extra.
Yes, yes. I try to make this study something that you could do in one sitting. There's no 5 days a week of homework. This is for, you know, moms with littles. This is for working women. It's for anybody. And by the way, it's for guys too. This is for men.
Yeah. And women. Yeah. This is it's very gender neutral.
Yes. Right. But once you have done the lesson, I recorded some live teaching because I taught this several times. I recorded myself. And it's a digging deeper type of way of thinking about it. Like I go deeper and understand and understanding kind of the main idea of each week. So I might get into some theological terms. I might just expand an idea, but I didn't want to include that totally in the study because I wanted to keep it really succinct, the chapter succinct. So what you can do is you can do the lesson and then you can listen to the podcast and then you come together with your friends and you discuss your homework, and then you discuss, hey, what did you get anything additional from the podcast? That's kind of a way to use it. It's not mandatory. It's another layer. Some people are ready for it. Some people, they may not use it.
And y'all, I'll give you the topics of the week so that you can see, is this something that, you know, you're already, maybe the listener's already thinking of ways they could use this. Week one, of course, is getting started. Week two is the character of God, and then 3 is salvation. Week 4 is the Bible. Week 5 is prayer. Week 6 is growing as a Christian. Week 7 is obedience, and then suffering and perseverance, community and service, and sharing your faith.
That's it. It's pretty simple.
The 101.
It is as 101 as you get. I mean, it's just paring it down to the very basic things.
And I told you the story about the high school girl that I was like, oh, she should use it. And the reason I got that idea is I saw you'd posted, who is the college boy, because like that just got me all in my feels. I'm so sweet.
My nephew, who's at OU, using it with some boys at college. I know, so sweet. And you know, my husband has used this one-on-one with a friend. My aunt, who lives in the Dallas area, has led so many groups of women who are, you know, empty nesters through it. Some of them have never really had a strong faith or understanding. I shared with you that my niece, who's a teenager, wants to start a little group with her friends. She's 17 and she wants to start a group. And so I'm getting their group started. And so there's a lot of different applications. I just sent also a ton of copies up to Massachusetts to a church there because they're going to be using it for their foundations class. So
yeah. So tell us about that, because there could be someone involved in a church that's like, huh, would this work for what we're doing?
Right. And some churches have like these fabulous new members classes and they have a whole curriculum. And I would assume most new members classes include all of these things, right? Because again, it's a gap thing. Think about all the people that come into church that may not have ever been a member of a church, or think about the huge gaps. So you, a husband and a wife, or a single person, or, you know, a family's coming in, they want to help you have a strong foundation as you're, you know, joining the community. So in this church, they were like, we have been looking for something like this, and this is exactly what we need. And then I've got a Spanish version, and they've got a Spanish ministry, so they'll be using it with the Spanish.
You have a Spanish version? Oh my gosh. Well, you're in Houston, of course. I mean, it's very international. Y'all don't even know. Bruce's mom, he grew up in Houston, and she would have she had all kinds of international ministry stuff going on. It's like the world is in Houston.
Oh, it's amazing.
And let's take a minute and talk about the parents' guide, because the thing I was thinking about is my boys have grown up in the church, they've gone to Christian school, yada yada yada. But now that I have my oldest off in college, I was like, I feel like I need to just make sure that we are super golden on what we've been talking about for these 18, 19 years. And I thought this could just be good to go through. You have a parent's guide, like a smaller version, a distilled version. Tell us what's different about it.
Yeah, I wrangled in my husband to help me do this because he's a gifted writer. And so what we found just in trying to disciple our boys, using it as a verb, using disciple as a verb.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. It's fine. We'll let it go.
Yeah, we'll let it go this time. Is that, you know, we've used different things, but I had several parents come to me and say, can we use this with our kids? And it was just like, this is just too much, the original version. And so John and I were like, yeah, we need to have these types of discussions also with our boys. So we just basically took the central idea from each chapter and distilled it down. And you've got kind of just the main idea. You've got some scriptures to look up, and I'd highly recommend you all have a couple of Bibles and you help your kids to, you know, and then you ask a couple of questions, and then there's a closing prayer, and it's all scripted out for you. So there is a section called Relate It for like your older kids. So that would maybe be just a deeper question if you've got older kids, just to help them understand, you know, or maybe have a good conversation thing, because you would be surprised when you just throw out a question, what your kids might ask you or talk to you about. So that's kind of the gist.
Well, and to give you all an example, so a relate it for the God's Character Week is to have the family member choose one of the attributes of God that stands out and explain why, and maybe even draw a picture or write a poem, or then share why that attribute is a comfort or encouragement to them. I was thinking, this came to my head just because I'd done another interview on spiritual habits and shared about how my dad took me on donut dates. This could be fantastic to do a one-on-one, because wrangling the boys,
yes.
I don't know, maybe y'all,
nope.
Exponential energy and exponential movement. Peanut gallery and
yes.
Just, but I feel like if I said, hey, I want to have breakfast with you once a week, maybe even this summer, and I just pick a different day, a boy gets to go to breakfast with me, and we go through it in 10 weeks.
I love that.
That to me might have more impact than me saying, we're going to do it at dinner, because dinner is terrible. It's terrible.
I know. It really can be, especially at certain stages. Like the young mm-hmm. stage is really hard. And then like, I've got a teenager. I totally get it.
Yeah, as the only female at the table, I can often be like, okay, y'all, I'm done with this conversation.
I know. And then you ask the question again, and they go, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I love the idea of a one-on-one. I think that would be fantastic.
I just think they might see it as like, oh, mom's taking time to do this, and we may have deeper questions that they wouldn't ask in front of their brothers because they get made fun of, and you know.
Oh, true. Yes. I think that's a great way to do it. I love it.
The sponsors in this episode are amazing. All these clean products. Another area that I have discovered the unicorn of clean products is in my makeup, and it's Thrive Cosmetics. You've heard me maybe talk about it before if this isn't your first episode to listen to. What makes Thrive Cosmetics so great? Not only are they certified 100% vegan, cruelty-free, with clean, skin-loving ingredients, they perform well. Everything I use, and I keep increasing the different products I use, and I have yet to find one that I don't love. They're trademarked formulas, and they hold to uncompromising standards. But not only that, for every product you purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. So I've told you in the past about my favorite Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara and the Brilliant Eye Brightener Eyeshadow Highlighter Stick that I kind of use a combo of three different shades, honestly. Now I want to tell you, I have now switched my eyeliner, and I'm using the Thrive Cosmetics Infinity Waterproof Eyeliner. It's smudge proof, it has high pigment definition, and I'm finding that it just glides on really easily. It's really easy to apply if I just want to do like a top lid option, or I want to do both top and bottom lid. It also has a little sharpener. It has this angled smudge tip on the end of it that I can blend in if I kind of mess up in my drawing the lines. They have so many different bold or classic shades for all different skin tones and eye color. Go check those out. It's a great option. Try your new trusty favorites with an exclusive set just for our listeners. New customers can get the Liquid Lash Extension Mascara, which I love, and a mini size Brilliant Eye Brightener at a special set price with free shipping at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. Or save more with 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. It's Thrive Cosmetics, and it's spelled CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA for 20% off your first order. This whole episode is about moving from a believer to a disciple, and I can't think of a TV show that has influenced more people to want to follow Jesus than The Chosen. And what's so exciting is that another season is starting, season 5, and we're moving into the action part of the story. The table is set. The people of Israel are going to welcome Jesus as their king, while the disciples still anticipate a crowning. But instead of confronting Rome, Jesus turns the tables on the Jewish religious festival. The powers are threatened. The country's religious and political leaders are going to go to any length to ensure that this Passover meal is Jesus's last. The Chosen Last Supper is shot in beautiful cinematic format, and it brings the most pivotal week in history to audiences in a special 3-part theatrical release. And the first part of that release is happening on March 28th, and there'll be 2 more releases with the entire season available to enjoy in theaters. So get your tickets now at thechosenlastsupper.com. That's thechosenlastsupper.com. Text your favorite person, get your family, whoever you would love to move into that discipleship role, your kids, and go see The Chosen Last Supper in theaters. Get your tickets now at thechosenlastsupper.com. So beyond like one-on-one with my boys, another thing that came up is I'm in a broader scope of community of moms now, and over dinner conversation, faith comes up and questions they have come up, and it would be a big risk for me, but these are some moms, some of them, like one of them comes from a background of Jehovah's Witness, and several of them are in Catholic churches, but don't necessarily, they don't call themselves super Catholics is what they kind of say. So there's curiosity. We're kind of in the zone of faith. If I threw it out there, maybe they would take me up on it. But like, have you done that? And it feels risky for me. And what would be your advice for gathering a group like that? Or I don't know, even just sending out the invite. Like, I really think you should do 101 Christianity with me. I mean, it feels awkward.
Yeah. And let's be honest, it is risky. I mean, it's risky. However, I think what you said is really key. First of all, you have to assume spiritual interest. Assume spiritual interest in people. Okay, so let me just give an example. 2 nights ago, about 10 o'clock, I got a text from a friend who said, I just had the craziest conversation. I was out walking, and this neighbor of mine that I've only spoken to probably 3 times, like 5 minutes max, came up to me. She has seen that I have people in my home for Bible study. My husband has a discipleship group and some different things. And she knows I'm a woman of faith. And she wanted to come over later to talk about it. And so anyway, she came over. This friend shared the gospel with her and then is now starting to do the 101 with her. Okay. She had to ask her how to pronounce her name. She did not even know her very well at all. But what I'm saying, and I'm trying to illustrate the point, that we need to assume spiritual interest in people, because she is not alone in having these types of curiosities and questions. And almost everybody has them. And once you have kids, your kids start asking questions. And then that kind of creates this, I better get an answer here. And so there's a lot of things ruminating in people's minds that we just don't always know about. So I think the first thing is that you have to assume spiritual interest, and then you take the meaningful risk. And what I mean is that you pray about it and you partner with the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, I'm going to put out this invitation. And the way I'm going to frame it is, Okay, they might know that you are a Christian. They probably do. And so you would say, I would like to kind of get back to the basics of my faith. I'd like to get refreshed in the basics. And I think this is a great Bible study, and it's at a 101 level. So anybody can come. Does anybody want to do this? Come over. So-and-so and I are going to do it, or whatever it may be. And then what you do is you ask the Lord to handpick those that come. What's the worst thing that can happen? Okay, the worst thing that can happen is someone gets really hostile. Never heard that happening. Or they just ghost you and they don't ever respond. Okay, that would be a little bit sad, but not the worst thing ever. But time and time again, what I hear from leaders, people that have done this study is, oh my goodness, I can't even tell you. I had messages from people saying, you have no idea how this is an answer to my prayers. Mm-hmm. I was in the shower last night, and I was just asking the Lord to show me more of who he is, because I don't know where to start. I'm stuck. And then I got your text. That has happened so many times. And so see your invitation as potentially someone's answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we want to partner with the Lord to see something amazing like that happen for some people that we know? And we're not inviting people to a party where you're going to get bummed when people RCP no, right? You're just saying, Lord, show me who you want to be there. And I'm excited. It might be two people. If it's two people, it's two people. Just get excited about who the Lord brings. So I think we just have to get over the fact that of that fear of rejection, they might look at you weird or whatever it may be, and just say, Lord, I just want to be bold. Taking a meaningful risk. I'm leaving the results to you. I'm reframing what success looks like. Success is me being obedient. That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's just being obedient to share truth with people. You're not called to do the conversion and see them into spiritual maturity for their whole life. You're there just to be faithful to share the truth with them. And then God does the work. It's so freeing.
It's so good. And to me, it's this combination of my book, Don't Mom Alone, and Right Where You Belong, of like, people are doing life alone and we are not inviting. And this is an excuse to gather together. And I think motherhood brings people to their most vulnerable places where they're desperate for something outside themselves. And so you're kind of, especially if you're a mom listening, this is a ripe stage. If you meet a mom at a playground and, you know, have a conversation, and you could say, hey, I'm going to start this group, and she might be desperate for just community. And then, I don't know, it's providing her answers that she's also been needing. And then Right Where You Belong, like, sometimes we get so discouraged that we're not doing significant things in those little years, or even, you know, the teen year. I mean, any kind of stage. I've talked to moms, the middle years, where they're like, well, my kids don't need me anymore. And what's my purpose? And you're here. You're a follower of Jesus. There are people who are longing for more, and you have the answer. And it's like, that's significant. That's really significant. No one can reach them better than you. And the depth of a three-person group, Jesus had his three favorite, you know?
Absolutely. Yes. It does not need to be this big, elaborate thing.
No, really, from a stage, it's, you can't, I mean, I just spoke this morning and like I had a couple conversations where I got to know people and their stories a little bit, but I'm not getting to hear every person's experience or provide content that's going to, you know, help them specifically. Even right. The show, it's like, I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there, but I can't get feedback on what's hitting or not. So yeah, I just want to encourage you, like, in both of those things, you have value, your stage matters, and where you are matters. And anywho, I just love that we're offering this option. Do you give, we have podcast clubs and we kind of give guidelines on how to guide conversations so they don't go awry.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
Do you have like guidelines? Is it in the book or is there a website link?
I have a little on my website. There's a webpage where it says lead, maybe under Bible studies, it says lead. So you can get more information there, just in like some printable things on. Okay. I mean, not just some basic things like don't overthink, just make your list. Here's a little sample way you could send out a text. You know, there's some support there. But in the back of my studies, there is just some, it's not that much, but there's just small group information and guidelines. So It's just a few pages, pretty pared down, but it's straightforward. There's more on the website, and that's a way that you can kind of have that support. People can always reach out to me through my website, hello@101christianity.com. I help people. That's what I love doing, is just, you know, hearing from people, and I love to come alongside and pray and just say, let me help you start a group. How can I support you? So I love doing that. It brings me a lot of joy to do that. So they can reach out.
We mentioned the basics of Christian faith. We mentioned the Parents Guide to the Basics. There's also another study, a 14-week study called Discovering the Character of God. And it's like, if there's that 1 week chapter on character of God, this is like deep, deep dive. Tell me about where that fits in this lineup of 101 Christianity.
So, you know, learning God's character was a really significant thing to me as a child. My parents taught all of us all the different aspects of who God says he is in scripture. And so what I found is that when I was writing this study, so many people, when they were doing the chapter in the basics on the character of God, it was like drinking out of a fire hydrant. It's like, God is sovereign, God is truth, God is omnipotent, God is love, I mean, justice, righteous, all these things. And it's just like, oh, okay. And somebody said, I really would love more on that. And I was thrilled to do it because it's something that we all need. And I call the aspects of God's character anchors, because truly when you and I and everybody else, when we're going through really hard things, what anchors us is God's character. When you have a hard situation going on, sometimes we don't have time to sit down and look through our Bible to try to find something that will really speak to that. But when we have hidden in our heart that God is sovereign and in control, even in this really scary, hard, devastating situation, that will anchor us. That will keep us grounded and tethered to who God says he is. When God tells us he's unchanging, when everything feels like it's falling apart, and when God tells us he's faithful. So the character of God study is kind of what I encourage people to do after they've done the basics. It's not mandatory. You don't have to, but it's another layer of just shoring up your foundation to where you almost have a vocabulary, an active vocabulary for describing who God is, who God tells us he is again and again in scripture. And so it shows up and it brings to life so much as you read God's word and you see his character. So it's 14 weeks. Again, it's all doable in one sitting, not really heavy, hard homework, but it is so essential to me. It's something that I think every Christian should have knowledge of, is God's character.
Do you have in mind a next 101 study? What are they asking for next to go a deep dive on?
I am in the process of writing a 101 survey of the Old Testament. Mm. So for me, what I have found just reading through the Bible is that it is really hard to get and maintain the big picture of what God's doing. You know, we can understand the four movements of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, you know, the four aspects of like the meta narrative, the big picture. But when you're reading like Obadiah, you're like, wait, now what's happening here?
Someone's like, that's a book. She just made that up. Nope. Obadiah's in there, y'all.
It totally is. And trying to understand all the kings, and wait, haven't we already read this again? When you're in the First and Second Samuel, First and Kings, you're like going back through it. And so I, again, just want to have a big picture idea for people to be able to understand what's happening. And so I'm in the process of writing that. So we'll see.
When is that coming out?
I don't know yet, Heather.
You're
not
pregnant
sure
with it. And you have no due date.
Well, and then maybe there'll be a New Testament survey, because I think I have the same, you know, so then that would be a four volume. It'd be the basics, the character of God, Old Testament, New Testament. And then I might just tie it with a bow.
Now I can still see more. I can still see more. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's amazing. I love that. I love that. And they're all available on Amazon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We'll put the links in the show notes. Courtney, what a delight. So thankful to get to know you and to be able to share your resources with others and you. And so thank you for being faithful where you are to do what God's given you to do.
Thank you so much. And you're an encouragement to me. So thank you for this fun conversation.
Oh, anytime. Okay. I am inspired. I think I have a plan for the summer. I don't know if I said it in this episode because we recorded a while ago, but I really want to be intentional this summer to meet with each of my boys and work through her study just to confirm that we've got the basics, the foundations covered before they head into the next seasons of high school and middle school and college. And so I don't know what you were prompted, if there was a person, a neighbor, a friend that you were prompted to move into that next stage from believer to disciple, or who's been asking good questions and you haven't known what resources to use. I love the idea of college students using it to disciple their friends. So definitely check out the show notes and more of what Courtney has going on with 101 Christianity. All right, I'm going to pray over us. Lord, Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus, you are knocking on the doors of everyone's heart, and that your desire is to be in relationship beyond just salvation, but walking with people day by day so they can follow you, they can know you, they can be known by you, that they can move past the things of this world that will trip us up. It's not a perfect life that we are promised, but to be able to have you walk with us through the hard is such a gift, and that we could give that to those around us, that they don't have to be living in darkness, but that we can shine a light, and that you are the source of that light, that we don't have to muster and be super Christians that produce our own light, but that we can spend time with you. And just by being with you, the Holy Spirit reveals you through us. And so, Lord, I pray for our own time, that we would set apart time to be with you, and that we would also follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit to initiate conversations with those around us and with our kids, and that we would not fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks, y'all, for joining me again. I always say that. I feel like I always say, thanks, y'all, for joining me. Last week I asked everyone to share an episode and tag me, and I got zero tags. So either that's too hard, or you don't have a favorite episode. I think it's just too hard of an ask. But if you would even just share this episode, or a recent one, or go look in my reels and share a reel in your Insta story, that would be really, really helpful. I said in last week's episode that it's such a gift when someone reaches out to me and they're like, I just found your show after, you know, almost 12 years of making it, that people are just discovering it is because of y'all and because of how you share with people you know and love. So do me a fave and I'll meet you back here next week. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.